Okay, we're going to begin at the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Bet. We left off there yesterday. The Gemara has an assumption that smicha, that is, giving smicha, as we know it today, passing the right to paskin from one individual to the next, requires three. The Gemara doesn't have a source for that there needs to be three. But now the Gemara is going to challenge that we really need three. As it says in the fourth to last line, v'chad lo samich, is it really true that one person can't provide smicha? We have to remember this individual in a positive light. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava Shemal, this special individual called Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava Shemalehu. For it wasn't for him, nishtachachu dinei knasot Misrael. All the dinei knasot would have been forgotten from Klal Yisrael. Rama says nishtachachu. What do you mean they would be forgotten? The Gresinu will learn them. Meaning forgetting is not an issue. We can always just relearn them. Ella. But lu tignei knasot we, so there would be no more ability to paskin with regards to the knasot because the chain of smicha would have been broken. Shapamachat gzera machut arisha gzera Yisrael. So during the Roman occupation, there was a decree that was passed. Shekol somech yareg. Anybody who gives smicha performs smicha will be killed. V'chol nismach, and the recipient of that smicha yareg will also be put to death. And any city in which smicha is given, techarev, will be destroyed. And the areas or the suburbs or the areas around where they do the smicha will be overturned. So basically, the Romans put a death threat and a decree of destruction associated with smicha in order to prevent smicha from continuing. Because they knew that by stopping the smicha, they would ruin or cut off this lineage. That was ish mi pi ish, mi rosh rabbeinu, and therefore they attempted to stop it. So Yehuda ben Bava did not want to be stopped. There Masa, Yehuda ben Bava, so what did he do? Halach v'yashav lo ben shnei arim. He went out into the fields, into the empty areas between two mountains, ben karim gdolim, ben shnei ayirot gdolot, between two big cities, ben shnei tchumei shabbat, and between two tchumei shabbat. So therefore he was in an area, quote unquote, that was neutral territory, that was not associated with any given city or any given location. Ben usha v'shaparam. It was between those two locations. Samach sham chamisha zkenim, and he gave smicha to five individuals, five zkenim, ve'eluhim, who are those that he gave smicha to? Rabbi Meir, ve'Rabbi Yehuda, ve'Rabbi Shimon, ve'Rabbi Yossi, ve'El Abelazar ben Shamua. So those are the five individuals whom he gave smicha to. Rav Abia Mosif, af Rav Nechemya. And Rav Abia adds on that he also gave smicha to Rav Nechemya. The Romans got word of the fact that he had done this. And they got word of this. He said, take off. He was telling his students, the five or six students that were there, he told them, take off. You got to go. Rabbi, what's going to happen to you? I'm in front of them like a stone that cannot be moved by anybody else. Now, I don't know if it was because of Yehuda ben Bava's age that he felt that he couldn't make or he couldn't flee. Or because he felt that if he stayed, he would be a decoy, and the others would get away. He did not leave there, Yehuda ben Bava, until he had either 300 daggers or 300 darts put into him, shel barzel out of iron vasul kikavara, and he was made like a sieve, meaning that there were so many holes in his body, so many punctures in his body. So that's Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava's amazing story about giving his life up, al kiddush Hashem, to ensure that the lineage of smicha is not broken, and he gave smicha to these five zkenim. But what do you see? You see that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava was the one who did it by himself. If he did it by himself, then it seems there is no requirement of having three for smicha. So he says, no, there was Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava achrina havu badei. There were other two individuals along with Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. The reason they were not enumerated is because of the kavod of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Since Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, I guess, was the main impetus or driver of this whole situation, plus he's the one whose life was taken here. Therefore, it's called al shmo. It's called by his name. So that he was the lone grantor of the smicha, in the sense in name. But truthfully, there were two other individuals there that made it that there were three who gave over the smicha. Gemara says, "Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda ben Bava samche." Did Rav Yehuda ben Bava really get his smicha from Rav Yehuda ben Bava? V'amar Rabba Baruchanam, Rav Yochanan, Kol Omer, Rav Meir lo samchu, Rav Akiva ain't lo toeh. Anyone who says that Rav Meir didn't get a smicha from Rav Akiva is mistaken, which makes it sound like Rav Meir got his smicha from Rav Akiva, not from Yehuda ben Bava. Gemara says, "No, samche Rav Akiva v'lo kiblo." in that he got smicha from Rabbi Akiva, but it wasn't accepted. It didn't work so well. It wasn't flow. I mean, because he was still a young man, and therefore other people weren't willing to accept that smicha. Because Rashi says, "Lufisha dain haya bachur." Samche Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava later in Rabbi Meir's life gave him smicha v'kiblu, and people accepted it at that point in time because then they felt Rabbi Meir was worthy of receiving the smicha. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, ain't smicha b'chutz al ha'aretz. There's no such thing as smicha outside of Eretz Yisrael. My ain't smicha. What does it mean? There's no such thing as smicha outside Eretz Yisrael. Ilay medelo dini dinei knasot klal b'chutz ha'aretz. If you think that you can't do dinei knasot, because the requirement, the smicha allows one to be done knasot. So if you say there's no smicha in chutz ha'aretz, it implies that you can't do dinei knasot b'chutz ha'aretz. That's what you think. V'hatnan. We have a Mishnah, Sanhedrin no'aget ben ba'aretz u'ben b'chutz ha'aretz. Sanhedrin can be both in Eretz Yisrael and in chutz ha'aretz. Well, if the Sanhedrin can be in chutz ha'aretz, then they clearly can be done dinei knasot in chutz ha'aretz. Ella delo samchinan b'chutz ha'aretz. We don't give smicha outside of Eretz Yisrael. Someone says, pshita, I know that samchin b'chutz ha'aretz, right, v'nismachim b'aretz, if those that have smicha are in chutz la'aretz, and those that want to receive it, and or the ones that are supposedly the recipients of the smicha, are inside of Eretz Yisrael, hamrin and delo. That we know doesn't work, because that's what we just said above, that if you can't grant smicha from outside of Eretz Yisrael, ella, somchim, if the parties granting the smicha are be'eretz Yisrael, v'nismachim, and the recipients of the smicha are in chutz la'aretz, my, what's the din there? I mean, since the grantors of the smicha reside in Eretz Yisrael, and technically those in Chutz La'aretz could come to them and get their smicha. Therefore, even when they're far away and they grant them the smicha, or even though they're in Chutz La'aretz, maybe it works. So Tashma. It's a permission, right? Smicha is all about permission. We say you don't have to literally put your hands on them. It's about in name. So here they could grant the smicha to these individuals, maybe by letter, however they get it to them. Tashma, I mean, literally you could do it on the border, and that could be the question in the Gemara, but I'm saying a more practical sense probably was right from further away, the locations. Tashma, de Rabbi Yochanan have a mitzdara lei de Rabbi Shemin ba'aba, de lo have a gabayu de lismeche. Yochanan was upset that Rabbi Shemin ba'aba wasn't with him, that he could give him a smicha. So Rabbi Yochanan, who was resident in Eretz Yisrael, and he was unable to give Rabbi Shimon bar Abba a smicha because Rabbi Shimon bar Abba was in Chutz La'aretz. So you see from there that there is no such thing. Even when the person who is granting the smicha resides in Eretz Yisrael, that is not sufficient, but that you also require the individual who is being nismach to be alongside of them in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Shimon... Rabbi Shimon ben Zirud v'chad dime, or Umanu Rabbi Yonatan ben Achmai, Rami Lard Rabbi Yonatan ben Achmai v'chad dime Umanu Rabbi Shimon ben Zirud. So these two individuals, chad to have a gabayu samchu, the one that was by, I guess, Rabbi Yochanan, by Rabbi Yochanan, they gave smicha to, chad to have a gabayu lo samchu, and the one that wasn't there, they didn't give smicha to. So you see again that the physical presence in Eretz Yisrael is needed in order to receive the smicha. Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Hoshia, Habaka Mishtakid, Rabbi Yochanan, the Mismechinhu. Rabbi Yochanan was trying to give smicha to Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Hoshia. He was intending, or he wanted to give them smicha. Rabbi Mistaya Milso. It wasn't working out. It just, every time they tried to get the people, you need three people. So every time he tried to get the people together, or they weren't able to get them all together in the same place at the same time. Whatever the reasons were, it wasn't working out. So Habaka Mitzdar Tuva. Rabbi Yochanan was very upset by the fact that he couldn't give smicha to his talmidim. So Amulei Elon Itzdar Mar. So the two talmidim, Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Hoshea, said, "Don't worry about it. Anan mid Beit Eli kaatinan. We come from Beit Eli, so why should that matter? Damar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman and Rabbi Yonatan minayin shein ismachim le Beit Eli. How do we know that those from Beit Eli will not get smicha, or they will have a hard time? Let's call it this way: getting smicha." That is, Shinemar lo yezakein bivetecha kol yamim. There will not be someone of old age in your house all these days. It's a part of the curse that Hashem says to Eli because the actions of his children. So that's one of the things that he says. Nobody will grow old in your house. My zakein. What does it mean to get old? Ilam is zakein mamash. If you think just in age, physical age, v'achtiv, that the pasuk already told that curse. Kol marbit beitcha yamutu anashim. Right, so it says that anybody who reaches the age of man, like at 18 years old, will pass away. So we know that nobody's going to reach a ripe old age. That was already part of the curse earlier. So what's lo yeh zakein betecha kol yamim? Ela smicha. That's what it refers to. Zakein here is a reference to smicha. The idea that zakein, and we know zakeinecha are those that sit on the Sanhedrin, agdola, michadim shebe'am. And therefore, when it says that there won't be any zakein bebetecha, that's talking about smicha. Rabbi Zera ben Metamer the Mismeche. Rabbi Zera was used to hide or avoided getting smicha, right? Me the Mismeche, that he didn't want people to give him smicha. The Amar Rabbi Elazar, because he was doing this based on the memory of Rabbi Elazar. Lo olam havi kabel v'kayam or kaval, really kaval v'kayam. He says, listen, the way to live a long life is to hide or be in the dark. Meaning that if you stay away from leadership and, you know, Rabbanut, then that is because it's mikaveret et balea. It buries the people who are involved in it. So you want a long life. You want to keep things peaceful. Don't get smicha. Kaven d'shma d'had the Rabbi Elazar, but then he heard another member of Rabbi Elazar, en adam ole l'gdula l'mkein mochlim lo akovenotav. Person is not appointed to be a leader, except if, unless they have forgiven him all of his sins. So that, he saw that as a benefit of getting smicha at that point in time. So at this point he had avoided smicha because he thought of the negative aspects of it. But then he heard this other member of Rabbi Elazar that sounded the positive aspects. He says, you know what, maybe it's not such a bad idea. So Amsalei Anafshei, he would made himself available. All of a sudden he was able to get smicha, he made himself available. He wasn't hiding anymore to get the smicha. When they did finally give smicha to Rabbi Zeru, they said they sang for him like this: Lo kachal, v'lo sarak, v'lo pirkus, v'yalat chein. It's actually a song that belongs to the when they sing with the kala, which is these are different types of makeup, right? It's a lo kachal. Lo kachal is for the enayim, is the eye makeup. Sarak is for the face, and some sort of powder for the face, and pirkus is for the hair. So these are different forms of ointments or makeup that women wore. So the Gemara, the song that was sung by the Kala is, it's not your eye makeup, it's not the makeup on your face, the blush, the lip piercing, it's not your gel or whatever you put in the hair. But Yalat Chain, even without all those items, you have natural beauty. So that's what they would say about the Kala. And they said the same thing about Rabbi Zera, obviously not because of his beauty, but rather this the tremendous chayin that he had and the tremendous righteousness and tzidkus that he had. They said that even without all the trappings, even without smicha, he was an unbelievable individual. Give samcho to Rabbi Ami or Rabbi Asi. When they give smicha to Rabbi Ami and Asi, shavuluhu hachi. They sang like this: kol min dein smuchulanu. Anybody like them, please give them smicha. Lo tis mechulana, lo, there's a question here what this word is misar mitim, or velo misar misim. V'amila, lo mach misim, velo matur misim. So they said, get us people who have smicha like this, but not these other types of individuals. What are these other types of individuals? So that's what Rashi says. Rashi says the first one is sar misim, which is loshon hafchanim, people who flip things over, mean that they mix things up or they change around the reasons, and not from sar mitim, which is loshon smartut, like a rag. Not from those that are rags, mean that they don't give good reasons behind their judgment or behind their learning. Ramila, and some say that's not mach misim, which are chamsanim, right? They shemonim milomar tamei Torah. They don't give, they steal. They steal away the reasons behind why they do things. The lo turmasim, Rashi says, I don't know what that means. So I don't know what that word means, turmasim. But anyway, these are the people who are unqualified. Please don't give us smicha, give smicha to those that are unqualified. Have us have more people like Ravami and Ravasi who are well deserving of the smicha. Rabbi Avok, you have ate me mitiv to the Beit Kesar. When I used to leave the Beis Medrash to go to the Beit Kesar, nafke motronita the Beit Kesar, the matron of the Caesar's palace used to come up to him, musharinle, and she used to sing, right, or serenade him, I don't know, Rabba d'ame, right, this is the great one of his nation, medarbarna d'umte, here is the manig Hashem, because he was a medarbana, from the word dabar, right, or davar, and the Gemara means to lead or to drive. So medarbana de umtei, the one who drives his nation, or botzina de nahora, and botzina de nahora is the like a wonderful squash or zucchini, by meaning that he was beautiful. It's a term that the Gemara uses for someone who's very beautiful. So that's why he's appreciated. This beautiful man, brich matiach b'shalom, right? Baruch bo'echa b'shalom. So that's she was greeting him. So she gave him, or complimented him, on his arrival, of being a great one of his nation, a nasi of his nation, one who is a manhig, and close to the government, and a beautiful looking, handsome individual. Baruch Bo'echa Shalom. So he gave him a very nice, warm welcome when he came into the Beit Keza. Right now, we're back to our Mishnah. Mishnah says that Arifat Egla B'Shlosha, that the Arifat Egla is done with three. Now, it's not literally the Arifat Egla, because that doesn't have to be done by the Zekenim from the Sanhedrin. That's done by the local people. The Zekenim leave before the actual Arifat is done, but rather we're talking about the Medidah here, the measuring between the cities to ensure which city it's closest to, and all the instructions that are given before that. So, Tanu Rabbanan, because it says, Ve'yatzu Zekenecha B'Shoftecha, by the Egla Rufat, it says that the Zekenim and the Shoftim will go out. Zekenecha Shnaim, Shoftecha Shnaim. So it says, Zekenecha 2, Shoftecha Shnaim is 2, Ve'im Bezdin Shakul, Mosikulam Eurechad. You get one more. Harikan Chamisha, that's 5, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Zekenecha Shnaim, that Zekenecha teaches you 2, Ve'im Bezdin Shakul, it's not Bezdin Shakul, Mosikulam Eurechad, Harikan Shlosha. So you have 3. So my obvious question is, Rabbi Shimon, Hai Shoftecha, my Avidle, what does he do with the word Shoftecha? So Omi Ba'ilei, the Miuchadim Shibishoftecha. They have to be the special ones of your Shoftim. Who are those? Those are from the Sanhedrin HaGdolah. It can't be from any Sanhedrin or regular Beis Din of 23. It's got to be someone from the Beit Din HaGdol, from the Sanhedrin HaGdolah. Rabbi Yehuda. So how does Rabbi Yehuda know that? He says, Mizikney Zikenecha. So Zikney Zikenecha, Nafka, he learns out that it's Miuchadim Shibzikenecha. Because it could have said Zikney, right? Instead it says Zikenecha, so therefore you learn out too. Rabbi Shimon, imizikney, or from Zikney, Ava mina Zikney Ashuk. If it says Zikney without Zikenecha, I would have thought any Zikenim. Katav Rachman Zikenecha. Bikadav Zikenecha, Ava mina Sandre Ktana. If it just written Zikenecha, I would have thought Sanhedre Ktana. Katav Rachmana, Vishavtecha, Mimiuchadim Shavtecha. So each one of these items moves you up a notch. So the word Zakein refers to anybody of age. Right, so that'd be the number one stage. Number two is the word using ziknei, and then moving to ziknecha teaches you it can't be just anybody. It has to be somebody from a Beit Din or a Sanhedrin. But that could be from any Sanhedrin, from 23. Then you need the extra word of shoftecha to teach you not just from any Sanhedrin, but only from the Sanhedrin Agdolah. So that's the way Rabbi Shimon learns it. Rabbi Yehuda, Gamar, Ziknei, Ziknei, Misamchu, Ziknei, Aida, Etidayim. That he learns out from what we learned yesterday. How do you know by the Par Halam Dover Shil Tzibur that you need the Sanhedrin Agdolah to come and represent the people on the Par Halam Dover Tzibur, and they have to do smicha on it? So that we learn out from the Ziknei Aida, Miuchadim Shebeida. So he learns the Gzera Shava from Ziknei, Ziknei. So the Mar says, Malahalan Miuchadim Shebeida, just like by Paralam Dabash Shal Tzibur, it's Miuchadim Shebeida, Afkan Miuchadim Shebezekeinecha. Mar says, Yi Alif, if he's going to learn from there, Lilif Kulam Hatam. Let him learn everything out from there. Right, so Zekenecha Veshovtecha Lamali. If that's the case, if he's going to learn it out from Paralam Dabash Shal Tzibur, let him learn everything out from there. How many do you need? Right, that you need 3, and that it has to be Miuchadim Shveida, it has to be from the Sanhedrin Gdol. We all know that from this Gzera Shava. Okay, now if that's the case, then Zekenecha Shoftecha are totally extraneous. What's he going to do with them? Ella, no, that can't be the way he's learning it. Ella Vav, Vishov, right, he says it's the word, the letter Vav, Vishovtecha. Right, so the Minyona, that teaches you the number that you have. So you have now, the limud is ziknei zikenecha. Ziknei teaches you it has to be someone of age. Zikenecha teaches you it has to be miuchadim shibzikenim, anyone from a Sanhedrin. Shuftecha teaches you, right, that you have to have miuchadim shibeida. But the plurality of zikenecha teaches you that zikenecha is 2, and then it says vi shuftecha. So that vav is a mosif on the minyan. So not only zikenecha, vi shuftecha. So that vav makes it into 2 and 2, so that makes you 4, and you can have a bezin shakul, so that makes it into 5. Let's see where it says, Verab Shimon, vav lo dorish. Shimon is not dorish the vav. So therefore he only gets the 3 and not 2, 5. So what Tosfos points out here is that Tosfos just notes that the Vav, when we say Rav Shimon Vav lo darish, that's not in all of Shas he doesn't darshan the Vav. Because there are places where he doesn't, but there are also locations where he does darshan the Vav. Right? And the same is true with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, who's darshan the Vav here, in other places doesn't darshan the Vav. So what it means, Rav Shimon Vav lo darish, doesn't mean he doesn't believe in Vavs. It means that this Vav didn't speak to him. This Vav was not a drusha that he had a Masorah about. It was not a Vav that he believed should be darshan. Alright, so now the Gemara says, Elamiato, Viyatsu. So now what are you going to say? When they have to go out to the Egla Ruf, it says, Viyatsu, Shnayim. Umadadu, Shnayim. That's four. The Rabbi Yehuda, Harikan Tisha. Then it makes it up to nine for Rabbi Yehuda. Du Zekenecha Shoftecha. Every plural you can induction. Then you'll be Viyatsu, Umadadu. You have two more plurals, four more people. End up with eight then, based on the four words. Plus, it's Aim, Bez, and Shuffle. You have nine, according to Rabbi Yehuda. And according to Rabbi Shimon, Shiva. According to Rabbi Shimon, you have seven at least, because you have four more, plus the additional two, six, plus you can't have a Bez, and Shuffle. Of seven. So when it says, no, how would we violate? We knew those words of Yetzu and Madadu. Look at Tanya. Yetzu, Hain, Velo Shluchan. They personally have to go to the Egla Rufa and they can't send Shlichim on their behalf to the Egla Rufa. Umadadu, and they have to measure it. When it comes to Egla Rufa, they have to measure it. Afa Filu Nimsa Balil Leir. You still have to, even if it's in an obvious which city it's closer to. And we have the term Alil also when they, in Rosh Hashanah, when they're discussing the new moon, it says Ra'u Balil. They saw it. Clear. Everybody saw it in the sky. So the same thing here. But Alil Leir means that it's obvious which city it's closer to. Nevertheless, Tzarech Lasok B'Medida, you have to still do the measurement. Even though it's obvious, you have to still have to do the measurement. But Nitin Deloki Aitana. Our Mishnah is not like this Tana. The Tanya, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, V'yatzu Zekenecha V'Shoftecha. Zekenecha Zusanhedrin. V'Shoftecha Zemelech V'Kohen Gadol. It's the king and the Kohen Gadol. I mean, when they go out to Egla Rufa, not only is the Sanhedrin have to go out, but also the Melech and the Kohen Gadol have to go out, because they're called Shoftecha. Melech, how do I know that Melech, the term Shoftecha also refers to a Melech? It says, Melech B'Mishpat Yamid Aretz. Right, so that a king can establish a land through mishpat. So you see, the word mishpat is associated with the melech. Kohen gadol dechtiv uvat el kohanim alevim bela shofet. He'll come to the kohanim and levim until the shofet. So there is a idea that the shofet is associated with the kohanim and levim. So therefore, when you say shoftecha, it means bring the king, the kohen gadol, and the sanhedrin agdola. So by the who, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov b'chada palik o b'tarte palik. Right, does he argue about one item or two items? B'melech v'kohen gadol palik. He argues about a melech and a kohen gadol, but Sanhedrin, Iker Rabbi Yehuda, Iker Rabbi Shimon. But by Sanhedrin, he holds how many people have to come to Sanhedrin. He says either three or five, like Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. O Dilma, b'Sanhedrin nami palik. Maybe by the Sanhedrin also argues, the Amar Kule Sanhedrin bina. And he says the whole Sanhedrin has to come out, not just representatives, three or five, the entire Sanhedrin. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, to have an Egla Rufa, can imagine, it's an Egla Rufa found the corpse between two cities. They're going to bring out the entire Beis Din HaGadol, the king, the Kohen Gadol, all to deal with this Egla Rufa. Just gives you a sense of the importance that Hashem puts on this idea that we have to ensure that people are not killed and taken care of properly, and that we had proper Leviyah when they left the city. That they have to bring out the cream of the crop to, if they deal with Zegla Rufa. So Amar Rav Yosef Tashma, I'll tell you why. Matzana Beit Pagi V'Himra Aleihem. So this is talking about a Zakein Mamre. Zakein Mamre is a Zakein who will not accept the authority of the Beis Din HaGadol. So he has to rebel or refuse to accept their leadership and dominion over the halacha, or their psak halacha, when it's in front of them. They have to be sitting in the lishka, the gazit, and he has to come to them. So it says, matzana beit pagi, if he bumps into them, and beit pagi is the last area that's still considered within the chomot Yerushalayim. So he bumps into them there, v'imra aleihem, and he rebels there and says, no. Yachol te amrato amra, I would have thought that this was enough to qualify him as being rebellious, as a kain mamre. Tamalomer v'kamta v'alita l'makom. You have to go get up and go up to the place. Malamed shamakom goreim. The place is goreim. So the place, what does it mean the place? The place means that sitting in the Yerushalayim and the Lishkat HaGazit by the Beit HaMikdash, only then are they qualified or called the Sanhedrin. They leave that location, they're not called the Sanhedrin anymore. The Nafu Kamal. So how many people went out? Ilim Miksatam. if only a portion of them went out to the area in Beit Pagi, then maybe the remaining people in the base and would have paskin like him. How can you call him a Zaki Mamre if he refuses to accept the psak of the minority of that Beis Din, because maybe the majority would have voted in his favor? So how can you even punish him in that case? Ela pshita, nafik kula. Must be that they all came out. The entire Sanhedrin was there in Beit Pagi. Ah, lamai. Why would they all been out there? Elim the dvar rishut. If they're coming out for no reason, mi matzu nafke. Can they really do so? Vaktiv. We have a pasuk in Shir Shirim, which is describing, the Gemara uses other places in Irvin to describe the Beis Din Agadol. It says sharerech agana sahar al yechsar amazig. So it's your navel or your belly is like that of a goblet, and there will be no wine or diluted wine was wanting. So first of all, the Gemara talks about that Karen Biyavna, the way they used to sit in the Sanhedrin, they used to sit like Shurot, right, like a vineyard, Shurot like a vineyard. So this is the idea here that like they're compared to the wine or to the grape. That's a common mashal that's used for the Beit Din HaGadol. But here you say that you're not allowed to yechsar hamazig. So what is the muzig here? What does it mean? You're not allowed to have the robe of Beis Din. There must remain in Beis Din 23 people. I mean that from the Beis Din HaGadol, there must be a Beis Din HaKatan that's left there at all times. So they can't all leave because they have to leave 23 behind. How do we learn that out from the Pasuk? One possibility is because it says Ayasar HaMuzig. Muzig is, we know, muzig is diluted wine. What's the normal way to dilute wine? Two parts water, one part wine. Two parts water, one part wine means that each one's a third. So al yechsar hamazik is don't leave less than a third there. So at 23, that's the minimum of a third that would get you up to a Beis Din HaKatan. So you need at least 23 left behind before you can walk out. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that Tosa says the word mezeg. The word mezeg in Gematria is 50. You can't have about yechasir memtet. If there are 50 missing, then there are only 21 left. But if there are 49 missing, it's okay, because then there are 22 left. You can't have a Beis Din shuffle, they'll find someone else and make it 23. It's a little bit of a stretched interpretation. Mezeg or white, that's how that teaches you that the 23 is the minimum that might remain. The other one is just, as we said before, that it was a mashal to the Beis Din, and therefore they're considered like diluted wine, which is 2 to 1. Two waters to one part wine, and therefore, as long as one third of the basin is still there, you're okay. And truthfully, we know from Rava that dilution is three parts water to one part wine. So Tosa says it over here. We've also seen this Tosa in other places, like in Baba Mitzia, that the muzeg of Rava was unusual. That his muzeg, his dilution was more than normal people. He did three parts water to one part wine, much more diluted wine. That's why when people tasted it, they knew it was his wine, because his was more diluted. Other wines were only done to two parts water, one part wine, to keep the strength and the potency of the wine still there. And that's what the Gemara is referring to here, not the dilution of Rava, but rather the normal dilution of the So Ela Pshita must be the Dvar Mitzvah. They went out for a Dvar Mitzvah. So Hei Chidami, what Dvar Mitzvah are they possibly going out for? La Avdami Didat Egla. Must be they're going out for Egla Rufa. Why else would the whole Beis Din have to be going somewhere? Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, Dami Kuli Sanhedrin Be'inan. So that's one mitzvah the Sanhedrin, the entire Sanhedrin would have to leave to go out to it, according to Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, to do the Egla Rufa. So Amalei Abaye, wait, there are other places where we need the whole Sanhedrin to do something. For instance, if you're expanding the city of Yerushalayim, or you're expanding the Beit HaMikdash, you want to extend the Kedushat HaMikdash, or you want to extend the Kedushat HaYir, there's a procedure that has to be done with a Beis Din, with a Navi, the Urim V'Tumim, with the Aron, there's a Korbanot that you bring. I mean, there's a special Tekes Hilchati in order to expand the city. And there they would need the entire Sanhedrin. Kitznan, because we have like in our Mishnah, in Musifin, Al Ha'ir, Val Azarot, Al Beit Din Shel Shivim Ve'achad. You can't expand the city in the Azarot except with the full Beis Din, with the Sanhedrin Agdolah. Tosfos also notes, how come he couldn't have just been catching the Sanhedrin on his way home? I'll tell you why he didn't catch it. It says, no, because the Sanhedrin, when they go home, each one goes his own direction. You wouldn't see the whole 71 of them coming to one location. So that can't be the reason that all 71 of them are there. It's not like in the afternoon and they're all going home. No, it has to be a concerted effort to get all of them to go in the same direction and to be in the same place. It wouldn't be something that just happens naturally. Tanya Kavasi de Rav Yosef, we have a brace that supports this position of Yosef, Mansana Beit Pagi. found him out by Ibaki, Vahimra Lehem, and he was rebellious there. Like they were going out to measure an egla rufa, lo sifale irva lazarot, or to add on to the city. So truthfully, it supports the other opinion as well, not just Abai's opinion that they went out to expand the city, but also the other one, which says they went out to measure the egla rufa, if you think Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that way. Lo kol shetei amrato amra'a, I would have thought his rebellion is sufficient. That the location, the basin has to be in its location in order for it to be considered or classified as a rebellion, because the makom next to the mikdash, that they're sho'if from the Shechina that's there, and that part and parcel with the Avodat HaKodesh is the Beis Din. Not to see them as two separate entities, but rather as a single entity or a single body that is in, that is representing a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Keneta Revai Umaisu Sheni Shindama Yudim Bishlosha said in our mission that you need three individuals to assess the value of Maisu Sheni or Neta Revai, you know, fruits in their third or grapes in their fourth year that have to be brought up. They have the same treatment as Maisu Sheni because they don't know what its value is. Tanu Banan, Ezu Maisu Sheni Shindama Yudim. What does that mean that it's Maisu Sheni that they don't know the value of? So the answer is Perot Sheir Kivu, it's fruits that rotted, the Yayin Shi cream, and wine that went bad, coagulated of sorts. Uma'ot shechlido, or money that it rusted or deteriorated over time. So all these items, it's not easy to get a value on them. So how do you do it? You have to get three, a basin of three to look it over. So Tana Rabbanan, Maser Sheni, Shein Damav Yuduim, Podim Oto B'Shlosha L'Kuchot. Then when you go ahead, Maser Sheni, you want to redeem it, you don't know what its money is, you have to bring in three buyers. Avalo Bishlosha Shein Lukuchot. You can't use three people who are not buyers or active merchants. Even if one of them is a non-Jew, we're okay with that. And even if one of them is an owner of the item, because we're just trying to get impartiality, and we want to get the question now, is this just a way to assess the value of the object, or is this a real auction that the three people are actually bidding on the item, and whoever has the highest price is going to win it, and it's going to pay for it? So it's a question if this really is an open auction, rather, or is it just simply a way to assess what the value is, and then the Baalim will pay for it. By Rabbi Yirmiyah, Shlosha u'matilin toch kis. What happens if you have three individuals who are partners? A kis echad, they're all in one partnership. Mahu, can they be the assessors? Tashma, ish u'shtei nashav podim ma'isur sheni. A man and his two wives, we podim ma'isur sheni. Sounds like we have no problem with people who are somewhat nogea b'davar dealing with it, as long as it's more than one. Shein damav yuduim. Dilma, so the Gemara says, how do you know that? Can go on Rav Papa, bat Abba Surah. Maybe it's like Rav Papa and his wife, but Abba Surah, who was independent. She ran her own finances, she kept all her finances to herself. In that case, there really are two separate estates, two separate individuals, because they don't share a common estate. So, because of that, that's why we can say ish ushtei nasha. But normally, a man and a wife, that would not work. Tosas, but in the case of Neta Revai and Maisur Sheni, that the Tosas says it does not apply to the Neta Revai. This whole idea that you need to assess the items with three people when they damiv any yuduim says that's not going on Neta Revai. That's because he says I know time mitoch shadam lahut lechol perot nitiyazu. But it's always in a rush to eat his Neta Revai. It's the first time he gets to eat perot from this plant. He's going to be in a rush to do it. Hashina afilu b'damav yuduim. There we worry about it even if it's known, even as there's a known marketplace. Since he's in such a rush, we're afraid it's going to sell it below its value. So but Neta Revai, not only do you need assessors for when it's not known its value, but even when there's a market for it, you need assessors because it's different than Maaser Sheni. Umiu Bisman Azay points out that today when we are Podet, Neta Revai, and Maaser Sheni, but we don't do it Lefi Damav, Lefi Shov Yam, we don't go by its true value, we just use a token amount of money that is Mechalel, the item from the Din of Shmuel. Over there, of course, you don't Lo Ba'i Shlosha, you don't need three people to overlook it because you're not really assessing the value of the object. Like they showed b'shlosha, like they showed it to be done with three. Madnita and Taloki Yaitana. Our mission is not like this Tana. The Tanya, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Amar Afilu Tzinora Shel Hekdesh Tzricha Asara Bnei Adam Liftota. Comes to a Tzinora of Hekdesh, a golden Tzinora of Hekdesh. You need 10 people in order to redeem it. What's this Tzinora of Hekdesh is? Rashi says it's a Mazlei Katan. It's a small fork. She Tavim Bo Zahav, which he used to weave the or stitch the gold. So that's that you have to redeem with 10 people. Is that the other thing Tosis points out is by Tzinor Shalekdesh, she brings down multiple explanations. Rashi gives the explanation that's Mazleka Katan. It's a small sort of fork that's used for weaving. Tosfos brings an alternative explanation. One is that it's a kli that is used for mechatatin bot p'tilot mechanchinat aneirot. It's used to clean out the holders of the candles or the wicks. And the cleaning out the wicks and the candles themselves was done by this object, whatever this pan was that they use, or scoop that they use to take it out. That's one possibility of what a tzinora is. And there's another tzinora, which is a big, like pitchfork type of tzinora, that they used to use for flipping over the evarim, the limbs that were on the mizbeach. And the last one, Rabbi Chananel, he brings down, Rabbeinu Chananel Perish, tzinora atzei nura. That tzinora means the atzei nura, a certain type of tree or wood that is being used here. That's what the definition of tzinora is. So Tosfos brings an alternative three explanation of what tzinora is. And Rashi, and he happens to mention Rashi's explanation as well, that tzinora katana is some sort of machtin, some sort of object that's used for weaving or stitching gold, as Rashi had said above. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, holds like Shmuel, Damar Shmuel, Asara Kohanim, Ketuvim, Beparsha, the word Kohanim repeats itself 10 times in the Parsha. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, we're fine because he says that it's 10, and we understand it gets 10 from Shmuel's din, that there are 10 times the word Kohanim, Kohen is used in this. But the Rabbanan don't give a source for why they think it should only be 3 by Hekdei Shot. Where did the Rabbanan get Shlosha? If you say because the Parsha Pidyon has the word Kohen in it 3 times, so therefore you only need 3. Gemara says, well, Karkaot, Iftibu Arba. Wait, Karkaot have the word Kohen repeated 4 times in there. Tizgei Ba'arba, it should be enough for the 4. We know Karkaot have to be done by 10. So that can't be the explanation. V'chitayim Al-Khanami. If you say in Al-Khanami, that it's 4 over here. Alma. Right, it's none. Karko tish'a v'kohen, b'hu asarayik tishot. But rather, this is what I was saying before, that they got to 10. I mean, the word kohen was used in all 3 of those parshiot that are next to each other with redemption or an assessing of values. The last one is karko, and then when you get to that point, you've added up 10 words of kohenim, so that'll have to use 10. Mishami b'hu shita, libayu shita. So the one that only has 6 in its count, which is the first 2, which is the erachin and the metaltalin. So therefore, there's only as, up to that point, cumulatively, there'll be 6. So you should have to require 6 by metalklin. We only require 3. So that can't be the explanation. So kasha. The Gemara says, kasha, they don't know the source for the Chachamim's opinion or position that you require 3 dayanim. Because they can't learn it out for the word Kohen because it appears 10 times in the Parsha. And even if you say they learn it out from the fact that there is 10 times Kohanim, then why are they using Hedjotot and not Kohanim? And if you say, wait, Karka's last, it adds up all the Kohanim. It's cumulative. How many Kohanim are mentioned in the Parsha? The 3, so the first Parsha gets 3. The other 3, the second Parsha will get 6, and then the third Parsha, which has 4, will get 10. That works great for the 10 and the 3, but the middle one is 6, really, cumulative of these, and we don't see anywhere that anybody requires 6 people to redeem something. Erechin, it says the Erech, my Erechin. Right? My erachin on metaltalin, that's what we use in our Mishnah. What does that mean? Amar Gido Marav, Omer Erech Kli Ze Alai. It says, the value of this Kli, I am responsible for. So Amar Gido Marav, Omer Erech Kli Ze Alai, Notain Damav. Person who says Erech Kli Ze Alai doesn't. Erech is a reference to human beings. There's a fixed scale of what you pay for human beings on their value. But over here, you're applying this to metaltalin, which it doesn't affect. So he says, wait, my time, Adam Yudeshin Erech Lekli. He knows that there's no such thing as doing Erechin by a Kli. V'gomar v'amar, and he concluded and said, L'shum damim, I'm doing it for its monetary value. L'shum ochi, notein damav. Right, so therefore it gives its monetary value. Mar says, then Mishnah shouldn't call it Erechin, right? Lo Erechin ha-metaltalin, it should be Erechin shel metaltalin. Shouldn't be Erechin that are carried around, it should be Erechin, right, that are made up, right? Erechin that are redone to metaltalin. Mi ba'ilei. So Tzni, and when it says amended to read, Tener Erechin Shel Metaltalin. Rav Chista offers another interpretation of what this Erechin HaMetaltalim is. So he says, Rav Chista Amar Avyemi B'matpis Metaltalin Erechin. It's a case where he owes money to the Erechin, and instead of paying with money, he pays in kind. He gives Kalim instead. So Hayrechin, again, the language of the Mishnah doesn't fit so well. Hayrechin HaMetaltalin, it shouldn't say Erechin HaMetaltalin, but rather, Metaltalin Shel Erechin. I mean, it's metaltalin that are being used to pay for erachin. It shouldn't be erachin that are metaltalin. Mi ba'ilei. So where it says, amend it to read the way. Tni, metaltalin, shel erachin. We'll amend it to read it. Rebbe Omar, Rebbe says, no. But Omer erki alai. It's a case where he says, I'm giving my erach, I'm giving my worth. The Kohen comes to take property for him to pay for it. I mean, he hasn't paid on this time. He's refused to fulfill his obligation to Hekdesh. So Hekdesh is coming to take collateral, get the payment from him. So if the Kohen comes to take money, he takes from his metaltalim, he needs three individuals to assess the value of the property that he's taking to make sure he doesn't take too much or too little. Karkaot basara, and land is by 10, that you need 10 people to assess the value of what he's taking for the payment to Hekdesh. Right, that makes sense that we require assessments of items when we are taking stuff away from Hekdesh. When you're purchasing from Hekdesh, well, you want to give them the right amount of money. We don't want people cheating Hekdesh, so we find out what the real value of the item is. If you're giving your materials to Hekdesh, even if we underestimate what the value is, what do we care? Let Hekdesh get more money. He says it's logical. What's make a difference if Hekdesh is purchasing or if Hekdesh is selling? Afuke, when they're selling, my time, what's the reason? Dilmatoi, because people can make a mistake on the value. Yulei Nami, when they purchase, Hekdesh purchases, there can also be a mistake. I mean, that item could be undervalued, and if it's undervalued, Hekdesh is also getting cheated out. So it's a two-way street. We need Hekdesh to be protected on both sides, both when they are a purchaser and when they are a seller. And therefore, Rabbi Bo believes that this idea of Shlosha and Asara does not refer to Hekdesh being purchased from, but rather Hekdesh purchasing. Here where they are, they're going to take collateral, take the money that's owed to them, and they can take it in kind. They have to get that assessed to make sure that they're taking the right amount of value. Okay, we'll stop over here.